Well, thanks, Sam, for the welcome. I said this morning, it's always good to be back in Shiloh and in fellowship with you and people I've come to know and love, well, over many years now. Well, not trying to count, but it's good to be back. Thank you for having me. Thanks, David, for the invite. And it's good to be with you again today. Would ask you now to turn with me in the Word of God to the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 4, the same chapter where we're in this morning. And we want to lift a particular verse out of it, which I'm sure you can guess which one it is. But Acts chapter 4, as we come to the gospel meeting this evening. So Acts chapter 4, and I just want to lift the one verse, the verse number 12. Acts 4 and the verse number 12 together, please. The Word of God says in Acts 4 verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other. That's pretty plain. How anybody can make any different out of that is beyond me. But neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Words that the unsaved do not like. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. And amen. And we know God will bless the reading of his own inspired, infallible, inerrant, and indestructible, and incorruptible word of truth. Now, before we get into it, can we have a brief word of prayer together, please? Let's all pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank thee for all that has gone on in the meeting already this evening. We thank thee for the hymns and the choruses that we sung together. We thank thee for the prayer uttered. But now, O God, as we come and we've read the word and we come to thee and we come to the proclamation of the gospel, we come to thee and realize every need in the meeting this evening. Certainly the preacher's needs, or physical needs, just to be able to stand here given health issues. Lord, we pray for a clear mind. We pray, Lord, as we proclaim Christ and him crucified, Lord, that you'll touch these lips and that the word will go forward in the demonstration and the power and the unction of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we pray for the listener tonight, both in the meeting and maybe listening at a later stage on the internet. We pray, O God, that thou would help to set aside the things of the day that's gone and the morrow that lies ahead, and help us to hear the voice of God. And Lord, if any know not Christ, Lord, we pray that you'd speak in and speak with the voice that wakes the dead. Save our friends, we pray. We ask it all to the great glory and honour of the man of Calvary. Meet our needs and be with us now. And we ask it in the Saviour's name. Amen and amen. I don't want to go over ground I went over this morning, but just for a refresher and a quick one. The background, of course, is chapter 4. Here's in chapter 3, Peter and John have healed a man who has been lame from birth. And Peter then preaches Christ and him crucified and resurrected to the people. It comes to chapter 4 and verse 1, the Sadducees, they who didn't believe in the resurrection, are grieved that Peter and John were teaching the resurrection. It comes down to verse 6, the religious leaders are gathered. And of course the religious leaders don't like the preaching of the gospel either. And the beginning questions are verse 7, to question by what power and name they have done all of this. In verse 10, Peter points out that by them the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified. But praise God, God raised him from the dead, because without the resurrection, you know, salvation today. And tonight I want to bring to you that same risen Christ. The one who rose the third day. The one who's seated on the right hand of the Father. The one this evening, the one who will soon come for his own. The ones who have been saved by the grace of God. The ones who have been born again of the Spirit of God. The ones who are washed in that precious blood. Or to keep the evangelical jargon out of it, there's been a time in our life's experience when they suddenly come crying, Lord, save me. And this evening, some of these days, and you don't need to be a rocket scientist to compare the signs given in this book for the coming of the Lord. And bear in mind, a lot of the signs given particularly Matthew 24 and 25, for example, where the Lord's returned to the earth. And they're all here. How much more for the Lord's are coming to the earth, which will be at least 7 years earlier. And tonight I want to bring to you this same Lord Jesus Christ. Now, of course, in verse 12, Peter gives us one of the great gospel texts, which is our text tonight. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. The first thing I must bring to your attention is the subject. Of course, the subject is salvation that I want to leave with you. What is salvation tonight? Well, the writer to the Hebrews in chapter 2 and verse 3 describes it as so great salvation. And the same writer in chapter 6 and verse 9, he refers to it, he says, but beloved, we are persuaded better things of you, and things that accompany salvation, though thus are we thus speak. So what is this salvation tonight? This so great salvation that we could proclaim. This so great salvation that cannot be found in any other. Peter himself tells us in 1 Peter 1 and 9, he says, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. And of course, the first and obvious thing then is that salvation is the salvation of your soul. Now, I want to ask you tonight, maybe you're never born again of the Spirit of God. Never come to that place, as I've said, to keep the evangelical jargon out of it. You've never come to that place where you've cried, Lord, save me. You've never cried, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. You've never come in repentance and said, Lord, I'm sorry for my sin. Take me as I am. You've never come to that place tonight. I want you to, can you understand what the salvation of your soul entails? You see, why do you need it? Why do you need this so great salvation in the first place? Of course, the reason we need it is because of our sin. And keeping it simple, what is sin tonight? Of course, sin is anything that transgresses the law of God. All those thoughts, deeds, lies, talking with people behind their back, our covetousness, our lusts, our temper, our selfishness, and 1,001 other things that transgress the law of God is sin tonight. And that's why you need it. Because in God's sight, you're a sinner. And you may not like the language. You may not like the word. But take it up with the author. Because that's what the book says tonight. He says in Romans 3:23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. None exception. Isaiah 53 and 6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one unto his own way. The word of God tells me that there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. In Ecclesiastes 7 and 20. Jeremiah tells us. The prophet says that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And who can know? And I don't need to go on tonight and I can quote you many, many verses. But as far as God sees it, every single one of us is a sinner, born in sin and shaped in iniquity. And the first fundamental reason you need God's salvation tonight is this. That in his sight you're short. In his sight you sit condemned. And you need that condemnation removed. So why you need it is because of sin. But as we consider the salvation, not only why you need it, how do I get it? How do we get this so great salvation? It is simple. Or should I say, the act of being saved is simple. The Christian life is a hard life. Tough life. And anybody that's living on a bed of roses, there's something not quite right. And go away from this country, and I believe it will come soon enough. But across this world, there are those who have been persecuted for their faith. Some even laying down their lives for the Saviour. So the life is tough at times. I don't preach an easy come to Jesus gospel. Don't believe in this stick your hand up and sign a wee card and all of that stuff. I look for brokenness. I look for repentance. I look for tears. And I look for a man or a woman coming broken by their sin. And I don't care whether it's the love of God that draws them or the wrath of God that drives them. But I'm not after mere professions tonight. I want those who possess Christ because they've repented and called on his name. Now, having said that the Christian life can be tough, I want to say the act of coming and being saved, becoming a believer in Christ, is simple. It's as simple as ABC. You see, the first thing you do tonight is simply admit you're a sinner. Admit that you've transgressed the law of God. Because until you come to that place, there'll be no salvation for you. You need to admit your sin. You need tonight to believe in Christ. Believe on him. Now, I didn't say believe about him. I've said this many times before. I've said it again. The devil in hell himself, or the devil and the angels in hell, and hell is full of people tonight who believe all about the Lord Jesus Christ. What about believing about? There's got to be that act of coming and putting faith in Christ and totally depending on him and depending on the finished work of Calvary and that alone. So you admit your sin. You believe in him and you trust him. And then you call on him. Romans 10:13. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. There's got to be an admitting. There's got to be a believing. There's got to be a calling. And if you do those things, he will save you tonight. Will you cry with that repentant heart? Will you cry with that brokenness? Will you cry with those tears tonight? Lord, save me. Because if you do, he's promised to save you. Will you tonight? Will you call on his name? Salvation. Why you need it? How do you get it? Thirdly, when you can get it. You know, some people put about this spurious doctrine that you can grow into it. Absolute rubbish. Tonight there has to be that coming and that calling and claiming. But you can get it right this very moment. In 2 Corinthians 6:2 it says, "For he saith, I have heard thee in a time and accepted. In the day of salvation I have succored thee. Behold, now." Now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Now the reality tonight is I cannot guarantee you salvation tomorrow. I cannot guarantee you salvation under the ministry of our brother David next Lord's Day evening. I cannot guarantee you salvation in a year, or 10 years, or 20 years. I cannot guarantee you salvation on your deathbed, though so many seem to be thinking I'll get. Can't even guarantee you're going to get a deathbed. Can't guarantee you're going to have a mind to be saved with. I can't guarantee that the Spirit of God's going to be speaking with you that time. But I can guarantee it now. That's all. My friend, I can only promise you salvation at this very moment. I may have used this illustration before, but I use it again. A pastor friend of mine was asked to go to a deathbed. Now, the three men you associate me with are Harvey Shaw, Ronnie McCracken, and Kenny Wilson. None of them, so now you don't know who I'm talking about. But this pastor was asked to go to a deathbed. And he got there and the poor man said, "You're far too late. Far too late. Why am I late? When I was a young man, I sat on a gospel mission night after night for 3 weeks. And conviction came and it was so great that I couldn't eat. I couldn't sleep. I couldn't work. I was fit for nothing. And I got to the point where I said, Lord, if you leave me alone, I leave you alone." And being a gentleman he is, he backed out and he's never spoken to me since. I'm the dead among the living. Don't come to tell me about irresistible grace. There's one practical example of it. And this man wasted his opportunities. And he resisted the strivings of the Spirit of God. and he missed it. But sir, madam, it doesn't have to be that way for you. You can find Christ tonight if you'll only come and call on his name and ask him to save you. But the question is, will you? You can be saved right now where you are. Salvation, why you need it, how you get it, when you can get it. In Northern Ireland today, we have a materialistic society. And the attitude seems to be, what can God do for me? What can God give me? I'm doing all right on myself. I don't need him. What can he give me? The reality is tonight, God can give you so much more than the things you get yourself. He can give you the things you can't get yourself. For example, he can give you pardon for sin. So many tortured souls in this world. Talking to Davy and May about some of them today. Tortured. So many people cannot find peace for the things that they have done. But the Saviour, he gives you pardon for sin. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us. Not from some sin, but praise God, from all sin. He gives you pardon. I've mentioned peace. You can have peace with God tonight. And not only peace with God, the peace of God. The peace to put your head in the pillow and know it's well with your soul, no matter what happens in the night watches. Peace with God. Peace of God. Peace that passeth all understanding. He gives you a pleasure that this world cannot give you. Now, I'm not going to be stupid enough to stand here and tell you there's no pleasures out through that door. I'd be a liar if I did, because I sampled most of them. But the reality is, the glass empties, the hangover comes. The drugs bring the shakes and the next fix is needed. The gambling empties the pocket, maybe no food on the table for the family because you've squandered it. So I could go on tonight. The pleasures of this world, yes, they're there. They're only for a season. But there's eternal pleasures and joy in Christ. He can give you something this world will never give you. He'll give you his presence every step of the way. Men will forsake you. Men will turn their back on you. Men will stick a knife in your back. But that's all the lovely Lord Jesus. Never leave you nor forsake you. He gives you a pathway to follow for life, the best pathway. He gives you the promises of this book to stand down on tough days. He gives you a prospect that is amazing for eternity. And he gives you a life with a capital L, abundant life. Life, life, life. He gives abundant life. Maybe this evening you don't know the Saviour. You don't have life, you've only an existence. But he'll give you a real life. Abundant life. Will you claim it tonight? The salvation, why you need it, how you get it, when can you get it, the benefit in life. What about the benefit of eternity? This abysmal thing today where it's going about, where men and women, as soon as they leave this scene of time, that's the end. Cease to exist. Absolute rubbish. And the reality is, it is appointed unto men once to die. But after this, the judgment, there's an afterlife. And friend, you need to prepare for it. Amos 4 and 12 tells us, prepare to meet thy God. Have you made preparation for eternity tonight? You see, if the man and woman that comes in Christ, oh Lord, save me a sinner. I turn from my sin. I repent of my sin. Take me now. Take me the way I am. Lord, I'm coming today. Man or woman that cries that, as the benefit in eternity for heaven, let alone the benefits in life. But is eternity in heaven? He or she has a place where the Father is. The place where the Son of God is, the lovely Son of God who loved us and gave himself at the place called Calvary. The place where the Holy Spirit will be. The place where the saints will be, where Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, where Moses and David and Isaiah and all the rest of the prophets, where Matthew, Mark and Luke and John and Peter and Paul and Timothy and so many more are. The street of gold. The place where there's no sin. The place where there's no sorrow. The place where there's no sickness. The place where there's no death. For me, no more cancer operations. Praise God, no more hip replacements. No more diabetes. No more blood pressure. No more bad backs. No need for the specs. Praise God, no need for the dentist. You see, friend, can I ask you out of a heart of love? When you consider what the salvation, this so great salvation, as we've already quoted Hebrews 2 and 3 calls it, this so great salvation, can I ask you, when you consider what it gives you in life, and when you consider what it gives you in eternity, why do you not want it? Why do you not want to go to heaven? Why do you not want what God has for you? I cannot understand it. Will you come now and call on His lovely name? So you have the salvation of your soul. The second thing I want you to notice is the preciousness of your soul as we consider this salvation. Not only is there the salvation of your soul, but the preciousness of your soul. If I was to go around the meeting tonight, and then I was to go out into the streets of Cookstown and anywhere else occurred to go and ask the question, what is your most precious possession? I can imagine the raft of answers and a variety of responses. My house. My jewellery. My money. My car. Some heirloom. My artwork. My antiques. Some trophy. Some certificate of achievement that I've made. Some might even mention a person, a wife, a husband, a son, a daughter, a mother, a father, a family. But in reality, all those things pale into insignificance to the most valuable thing that you really do possess. The most valuable thing you possess is your soul. The Lord Jesus Christ Himself asked the question, in Mark 8, verse 36, for what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? People out there are striving after the tinsel toys of this world. And there's no satisfaction. And they'll lose their soul. For 50 years, Mick Jagger, I saw a picture of him the other day. For 50 years, Mick Jagger and the Rolling Stones have had their money, their fame, their women, their wine, and drugs, and everything else, and all that they have. He's got all the tinsel toys of this world that you and I can't even begin to imagine. And he's still out there running around singing, I can't get no satisfaction. My friend, listen. And I said to you in love tonight, your soul is worth much more than anything you can endeavour to obtain in this world. Your soul is worth far more than any rubies or gems or silver or gold. It's the most valuable thing you possess. Yet I ask you out of love, why do you think so ill of it? Why do you think so little of the most valuable thing you possess? Why are you taking it to hell? Why are you taking it to a lost eternity? Why are you taking it to a place where it will be tormented day and night forever? Will you not come to the Lord Jesus Christ and ask for so great salvation? Will you not cry, Lord, save me tonight? Salvation. The salvation of your soul. The preciousness of your soul. Can you see the eternality of your soul? You see, all you have in life tonight, all that gold and all that silver and all those possessions and all those tinsel toys, you'll be leaving them behind you. You'll not be taking anything with you. But your soul will live forever tonight. And where are you taking it? Where are you taking it? I ask you again, where are you taking it? Only two places you can take it. Heaven or hell. Nothing else. No purgatory. No intermediary state.
When your last breath leaves your body and you pass from life into eternity, you will either be in heaven
or hell.
And that's the reality tonight.
And in love, I want you to face up to the reality. I ask you, where will you spend eternity? And in the light of the question, will you cry now, Lord, save me? I need to move. Firstly, the subject, salvation. But looking at the text again, neither is there salvation in any other. So there's the solitary. No other. You know, people try to find peace and contentment and help in so many things. I'm only going to mention a couple of them tonight. But the reality is none of them work. The next new fad soon gives way to the one that comes after. But still that ache within the soul persists. Still that ache is there seeking for something. So many today are paying doctor relaxation. I'm stressed out. If only I could get more time and get more free time, then I'd be happy. But it doesn't work. Others are playing at the door of Dr. Religion. I'll try religion. I'll get religious and see if that helps. I'll turn to the Jehovah's Witnesses and Buddhism and Scientology and Mormonism and Islam and Catholicism and Hinduism and Baha'ism and all the other isms. Nothing but Christ. And outside of Christ, there's no salvation. Outside of Christ, there's no real joy. Outside of Christ, there's no real peace. And outside of Christ, there's only a lost eternity. And I'll try Dr. Relaxation. And I'll try Dr. Religion. And I'll try Dr. Reformation. But salvation, there's no other salvation. But people will try and turn over a new leaf. I'll give up this. And I'll give up that. And I'll no longer do the other thing. And I'll eat healthy. And I'll go to the gym. And I'll cut down on the booze. And I'll try and be more tolerant. And I'll try and be a nicer person. But you've guessed it tonight. It doesn't work. And it certainly doesn't take you to heaven. You need a reality tonight. If that's what you're trying. Dr. Reformation. It's not a new leaf you need. It's a new life. A new life that's found in Christ. And I could go on with that tonight, but I'm going to leave it. The subject is salvation. The solitary in any other. Look at the verse again. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name. No other name. The Saviour. The subject, the solitary, the Saviour. No other name. I hear one say, Martin, you're being very exclusive. Surely in today's society there are many religions. That's right, there are many religions. But none of them take a man or a woman to heaven and God. The fact is, Muhammad is still in his grave. And he's in a lost eternity. And he cannot save. He's been there a long time. What about Joseph Smith and the Mormons? Or Russell of the Jehovah's Witnesses? Or Mary Ellen White? Any other religious leader or founder you've heard in Ian? They're all dead tonight. And they're still under the ground. But not so the Lord Jesus Christ. He went to Calvary. And there he suffered. He suffered the agony of Gethsemane. He suffered the anguish of Gabbatha. He suffered the ignominy of the mockery. He suffered the bruising of the fists. He suffered the scourging of the whip. He suffered the pain of the nails and the shame of the nakedness. He suffered the sorrow of loneliness, the reality of rejection, the wrath of the Father, and finality of death. And bear in mind, he claimed death just before I forget. He claimed death. Death didn't claim him. One day death will claim you and it will claim me, but not so the Saviour. He claimed it. He left that cross and he went down into that tomb. But like those other fellows and ladies, is he still there? No, praise God, because on the third day, he arose again. And he's seated on the right hand of the Father. And he's able to save all those that will come unto him. All those that will cry, Lord, save me. The question is, he's the exclusive one. But will you come to him tonight and ask him to save you? The subject, salvation. The solitary in any other name. The Saviour. Look at it again. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. Now, it doesn't take a genius to work out the word must, what it means. It simply means there's no alternative. It's an absolute imperative. The word must leaves no ambiguity whatsoever. It doesn't say that you should think about being saved. It doesn't say you should be considered about saved. It doesn't say that you possibly might want to be. It doesn't say that you could be. It doesn't say that it's a good idea that you be. It's not an added extra for the super spiritual. It's not for tomorrow. It's not for another day. It's not for some other time. We must be saved. It's an absolute essential. It's for right now, and we must be saved. Of course, it's taught totally and completely in the Scripture, which after all is the absolute authority in all things. It doesn't matter what it is. If it's not in this book, don't be coming to me with it, because I won't accept it. This is the final authority in all things. And you can come to me with your evolution. You can come to me with your abortion. You can come to me with the one where they allow people to put themselves to death, they call it euthanasia. And all those things. It's not in this book. And I resist it with every breath in my body. But the reality tonight is the word save, the need for salvation. It's taught in what is the absolute authority on all things. It appears, turn with me to Luke 13 and 23. We've got a few minutes. Luke 13 and 23. This word saved and the need of salvation. It's really a Bible word. Luke 13 and verse 23. And it first of all appears as an inquisitive question. Luke 13, 23. Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? There's an inquisitive question. Are there few to be saved? Of course, simply the answer appears tonight in Romans 10, verse 13, for whosoever. Whosoever means whosoever. Not like these Calvinists. It's not whosoever of the elect. God means what he says and says what he means. Don't you be putting things into it. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. My friend tonight, the whosoever can be saved tonight. Whosoever includes me and whosoever includes you. Inquisitive question. But go back to Matthew 19 and verse 25, do we find an incredulous question. Matthew 19 and verse 25. Matthew 19 and verse 25. And of course, the story was of a rich young ruler, the man who had respect, the man who comes with a request and says, what good thing shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? In verse 16, in response, the Saviour gives, there's none good but one, that is God, if thou wilt enter the life and keep his commandments. And then we go on and we find this man's religion. We find his realization of what he's lacking. He realizes there's something missing. And verse 20, what lack I yet? Of course, tonight you lack God's salvation. That's why that ache is within your heart and your soul. And then the Lord puts his finger in his riches. The young man went away sorrowful, for he had a great possessions. His regret, and the Lord let him go. And there come the day, if you resist the Savior, You can resist him for the last time and he'll let you go, despite he loves you. But in verse 25, then it says, when his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, who then can be saved? In other words, if that religious boy can't be saved, who can be saved? The incredulous position, the incredulous question. If he can't get in, who can get in? Of course, that young man was rejecting the Saviour. But the answer is still Romans 10, verse 13. We quoted it for the inquisitive question. And it's still the same for an incredulous question. Because it says, for whosoever. Whosoever. Doesn't matter where you are, the top of society or out of the gutter, the Lord Jesus is able to save. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It appears this word saved not only as an inquisitive question and an incredulous question. Of course it comes in as an imperative question. Turn over to Acts 16 please, a wee second. We all know the story of the Philippian jailer. Acts 16. And the Philippian jailer is moved by the intervention of a holy God. And in verse 16, or chapter 16 and verse 30, he asked the question, and he brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And the reality is, he received the answer in verse 31, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Tonight, as you consider this word saved in the fullness of its meaning, will you believe and will you call? Will you call in the name of the Lord? I hear one say, Martin, you've been very narrow on the way to heaven. Surely we're all God's children and God will take us home. Really? Turn with me to John 8, verse 44, please. John 8 and verse 44. And this is the Lord Jesus speaking again. And now you're saying you're in God's family. Everybody's in God's family and everybody will get to heaven all right. That's your position. Well, not what this book says. Look what John 8 and verse 44 says. It says, ye are of your father the devil. God's your father, you tell me. No, he's not. You've never come and bowed your knee and asked the Lord to save you. You've never cried, Lord, save me, a sinner. Therefore, your family, your father is a devil. There's your parentage. You're not in God's family at all. Your parentage is of the devil. And look what he says then. He says, and the lusts of your father ye will do. There's your pathway. You're not following God's pathway at all. In your sin, you're following the devil's pathway. You've got your parentage and you've got your pathway. And then look at the pedigree. He says, he was a murderer from the beginning, abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. There's the pedigree. My friend, tonight you're not in God's family at all if you've never been to the point where you've cried, Lord, save me, a sinner. Never been born again of the Spirit of God. Never washed in the blood. Then, my friend, this evening, listen, and I tell you out of a heart of love, you're in the devil's family. You're not in God's family. And that family and that pathway will take you to a lost eternity. You see, you cannot be in God's family until you experience the new birth. Now, how to put that simply? Simply put, you came into this world. Every single person was born by a natural birth. We were born naturally. We had a physical birth. Every one of us has a birthday. Mine's the 20th of May. What's my date of birth? The 20th of May. What year? Every year. 20th of May. That's my birthday. Every one of us has a natural birth. But what you need to get to heaven is a second birth, a spiritual birth. You need to have a second birth. And you get it by coming and crying unto the Lord and asking him to save you. Will you come? Call on his name tonight. I need to finish. The subject, salvation. solitary in any other. The Saviour in none other name. The significance must be the simple choice, saved. To the best of my ability, I've set it out, the meaning and the benefits and the source and the method of salvation as simply and as easily as I can. But the reality now is over to you. You have a choice. There is a decision to be made. And it's the decision that you and you alone can make. Within my witnessing to a lady yesterday, with her for over an hour. But we pointed out to her, I do not have to answer for Elaine, or Geordie, or Davy, or Sam, or Bert, or anybody else. I only have to answer for myself. And you only have to answer for yourself. It's a decision that you and you alone can make. I cannot make it for you, nor can anyone else, but it is the most important decision that you will ever make. Because that decision, whether to receive Christ or to reject Christ, to cry, Lord, save me, or to not cry it, it's the most important decision you will ever make, and it will determine where you take the most precious thing that you have. It's a decision that will determine the eternal destiny of your soul. What are you going to do with Christ tonight? Accept him? Reject him? There simply is no other choice tonight. There's no other way. There's no other possibility. There's no other hope. You may not agree with everything. You may not agree with anything that I have said tonight. And you may not cry unto him. But that doesn't change the fact that you're still lost in your sin. And I, out of a heart of love, would rather you find out tonight your need than wait until it's too late. Come now and call on his name while you may be found. Harvey and I and Ronnie did a mission down in Carwador February, March time. On the Wednesday, we knocked the door. Lady. Ronnie and I did knock the door. Lady came to the door and we offered the way of salvation. No thanks. 10 o'clock on the Friday morning. Now this was Friday afternoon about 4 or 5 o'clock. Wednesday afternoon around 4 or 5 o'clock. No thanks. Friday morning about 10 o'clock, that lady fell, came down the stairs, broke her neck, coming down the stairs, and in a moment passed the eternity. I don't know what happened, but between Wednesday about 4 o'clock and Friday at 10 o'clock in the morning. But if nothing happened, then that lady's lost. My friends, you don't know when you'll be suddenly cut off. You need God's so great salvation. And you must be saved. And you must be saved now. Will you cry, Lord, save me, before it's too late? May you do so. For his name's sake. I'm going to close by standing to sing the words of the hymn number 269. 269, I'm going to ask David to close after we've sung 269. I hear thy welcome voice that calls me, Lord, to thee, for cleansing in thy precious blood that flowed on Calvary. 269, there's only three verses. We'll stand and sing all three verses, please. Thank you.